I lived in Los Angeles in Hollywood for 15 years, and it's true what they say. Everybody in L.A. has written a screenplay. Well, now here at the Fulton Shakespeare Library, everybody has written something about Shakespeare, and that includes everybody up to the guardians of this temple of learning. And I'm talking about our stage door guard, security team member Quentin Peterson, who's written an amazing Shakespeare noir novel called Guarding Shakespeare.
That's correct, yes.
I can't wait to hear about this thing.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 492, The Shakespeare Guardian. Everybody loves a detective story, and a detective story involving a genuine Shakespeare artifact is irresistible. Quentin Peterson is the stage door guard on duty most nights at the Folger Shakespeare Library, and after our final Friday night performance of William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, Quentin and I sat down in the empty lobby of the Folger, just outside the great exhibition hall, and talked about what brought him to the Folger and what nefarious crimes he spends his time there thinking up. First of all, tell me your background. How did you become the security guard here? What were you in your previous life?
Well, for about 30 years, I was a D.C. police officer. I retired April 23rd, 2010, and I didn't find out that it was Shakespeare's birthday and started working here in December of 2010.
Oh, man, forget about Shakespeare. D.C. cops have tons of stories to tell, I'm sure, after 30 years.
Well, that's correct. I've been writing crime fiction for 16 years.
Okay.
So my first crime novel was called Sin. That was published in 2000.
Okay.
And I followed it up with a sequel, The Wages of Sin, in 2002. And then I started doing a lot of anthologies. The first one I did was, it's called DC Noir, and it was published in 2005. It's edited by George Pelicanos, who produced The Wire and wrote some of the stories on The Wire, and he's got like 15 DC-based crime novels.
I've read a couple of them. They're phenomenal. I was wondering if you were going to be influenced by, or do you know him?
Yes, I know him. He asked me would I submit a story for, when he got this contract for DC Noir to be the editor, he asked me would I submit a story. He had read Sin.
That's
how I ended up being a crime writer.
And were you always a writer from when you were a kid? Was that always something that you liked to do?
Yeah, I got my first copyright when I was 13. I used to write science fiction and horror stories.
Man.
But, you know, being a police officer, it was a natural for me to become the cop who wrote crime fiction.
Sure, of course, yeah. Of course. Yeah. And I imagine your daily reports were probably a pleasure to read as well.
Of course. My supervisor, they ask me questions like, what are you doing, writing a novel?
The answer is yes, I am, in fact, writing a novel. What led you to become a cop?
Well, I was a playwright in my younger life, and I got tired of being the struggling artist. The chicks didn't dig it, so.
No, they do not.
No. So, and I wanted to raise a family, so I needed a stable, a decent source of steady income.
Right.
So that's job security right there, being a police officer.
Sadly. Yeah. You know, you guys are always in demand.
Right.
So when you were on the job and you'd be involved in whatever, were you street cop, detective?
Well, I did lots of street work, but my main assignment, as I was on the department for a while, became a media liaison officer. I worked in the public information office.
Sure.
And because Hollywood and writers, you know, novelists kept calling the police department, no one wanted to talk to them. They said, hey, you talk to them.
Yeah, yeah.
So I ended up being the motion picture and television liaison officer.
Oh, man.
So any movie you saw made, in a 20-year period, if it depicted D.C. police officers, they'd talk to me.
Oh, man.
And I was the technical advisor, I was a script consultant. There are dozens of movies. In the Line of Fire.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What's the last one I did? A State of Play.
Oh, man.
A whole host of them. I work with The X-Files, with 24.
Okay.
Season 6, because they wanted to have, they said, we need a sort of a gitmo in D.C. I said, well, you know what? Why don't you use the Anacostia Rec Center in Anacostia Park? Uh-huh. And it became the Anacostia Detention Center for season 6 of 24.
That's awesome. So you and I have both worked on 24.
Yeah.
That's so, what a great, and yet despite that brush with the glory of Hollywood, you didn't decide to move out to Hollywood or do anything that, any of that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
A lot of problems I had with Hollywood, and I know you have to tell a good story, but when a police officer shoots and kills someone, they take their gun and their badge, they put them on administrative leave with pay, pending a grand jury investigation to determine if it was justifiable or not.
Right.
Well, that stops the action in the movie. How's he going to kill the other 10, 20 bad guys
right.
when he's, you know, sitting at home with his lip, you know, pouting? You know, how's he going to do it? That's the only problem I had with it. So, no, I wouldn't want to go to Hollywood. I just write real, realistic stories.
And were the stories, were influenced based on the stories that you saw while being a cop?
Sure. I'd have to say that most of the stuff I've written for these crime fiction anthologies, I'm in one called To Hell in a Fast Car, Bad Cop, No Donut, Tales of Police Behaving Badly, Felons, Flames, and Ambulance Rides. So they're all what I would call hard-boiled police procedurals.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. And then... So then you started working at the Folger Shakespeare Library. Had Shakespeare been a part of your life, part of your writing life prior to this?
No, but I remember when I was a kid, we went on a field trip.
Yeah.
And I could never remember where it was or what it was. I just knew I liked the place.
Yeah.
So when I uploaded my resume to WashingtonPostJobs.com, uh-huh. I got an answer back from the Folger Shakespeare Library. So I opened it up and I looked it up. I said, that's the place.
Oh, really?
That's the place I went when I was a kid. I'm going to work there.
Oh.
So I started working here, and I was just sitting over there one day while one of the plays was going on, maybe like 2012. And I said, you know, this is a great place for, it's a backdrop for a crime story. Not a murder mystery, a heist job.
Oh, yeah.
An inside job. And then it started clicking. An old guard, they want to retire. Oh, wait a minute. Some nefarious businessman wants something out of the vault. So he sends in a beautiful femme fatale to work at the gift shop to scope out the likely candidate, and she overhears all the stuff. She knows it's this guy.
Uh-huh.
So she approaches him. They offer him $3 million for something he can take out of the vault that won't be missed, and he can retire a rich man. And the whole thing is, it's supposed to be a new acquisition,
okay.
A 16th century jewelry box with a hidden compartment. They're going to tell him how to get into it. And you know, it just roll from there.
But that's great stuff. And that's all just while you're sitting here.
Just sitting here thinking about, the Folger.
Well, and walking up and down this main exhibit hall.
The Great Hall.
There's always something fascinating in that hall. And they bring out artifacts for display.
And I have full access to the building. I have to do the patrols to all the sensitive areas. I have all access. We lock the vault. You know, we take turns opening the vault in the morning.
Okay.
And locking it in the evening in the vault. Behind the vault is the elevator where you can get into the bowels of the building where the real valuables are.
Okay.
But we have all access, so
oh my gosh.
That's why I started thinking about, wow, this would be great. You know how you have to have all these complications when you have that heist story, like the scores, you know.
Right.
It's got to be complicated, and can he get away with it? Will he betray the people he's worked for 25 years?
Yeah.
Will they give him $3 million, or are they planning to take it and kill him?
Yeah,
it's all kind of things going on.
So,
and the people who read it, you also get to learn about the Folger Shakespeare Library.
Yeah.
Because I don't really tell about our security.
Right. You want to keep your job. That's good.
Yeah, I don't tell about our security. We have tough security, but if you try to use my book as a how-to book, you'll be caught.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But I make sure that people learn about the Folger Shakespeare Library, something about the Folgers themselves. So it's educational, and it's entertaining.
And exciting.
Exciting.
I'm Craig Robertson. I'm the author of 4 crime novels set in contemporary Glasgow and 1 set on the Faroe Islands. And you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC?
We left D.C. a week ago, but we returned to the D.C. area this week for two performances of the complete history of Comedy Abridged at one of our favorite and oldest venues, the Reston Center in Reston, Virginia. Prior to that, we make our Wyoming debut this Wednesday night in Gillette, Wyoming at the Camplex Heritage Center, followed by a return to the Raritan Valley Community College in Somerville, New Jersey on Sunday night. Then we'll perform our rescheduled performance at the People's Bank Theater in Marietta, Ohio of the complete history of Comedy Abridged in June to make up for the performance that was canceled because of weather in January. And in early July, we'll perform William Shakespeare's long-lost first play Abridged at Appalachian State University in Boone, North Carolina, before taking it to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in August for the European premiere. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And now back to my conversation with crime novelist and Folger Shakespeare Library security guard, Quentin Peterson.
The first germ of the idea for William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, was when we were given a vault tour, and we said, what would be the Da Vinci Code movie about Shakespeare that you would write? What would be the treasure be? And Gail Pastor, former director, said, a manuscript in his own hand, and we went, we're going to write that manuscript. Since nobody's going to find it, we're going to write it. And so you and I have both been inspired to write something by the Folger Library, which is so cool.
And the thing I like about it is February 5th, we had a reading in here in the theater. James DeVita, he wrote a novel called A Winsome Murder, and his detective solves cases thinking in terms of, in quotes from Shakespeare's tragedies.
Okay.
And then I wrote Guarding Shakespeare, so they had us read from our books and answer questions, and then we did a book signing in the reading room.
Oh, that's sweet. That's really special.
It is sweet. It's very sweet.
Oh, that's great. And have any of your friends in Hollywood started sniffing after Guarding Shakespeare?
Well, a few people have been talking about it. I'll see what happens. I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah. Who's the main character?
His name is Norman Blaylock.
Okay.
Norman Blaylock, and I write him so that you don't really know if he's black or white.
Okay, that doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. So I describe him as tall, dark, and lean.
Kind of like you. How autobiographical is this?
No, it's not me. Norman Blaylock is completely made up. He's too sophisticated. I'm not that sophisticated. Because he's got his own secret. People think he's just a security guard, but actually, he's a professor of English. There was some trouble in his past, so he just took a job using his high school diploma. They don't really know how really brilliant he is. Of course, the people who enlist his help, they've done a background, they know all about him.
I know you had to go to training to be a cop. Did you go to school to learn to write, take creative writing courses?
Well, I went to college. I went to the University of Wisconsin. I majored in communications because I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up.
In Madison?
No, it was Green Bay, actually.
Green Bay. Okay, yeah.
I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I figured that's a degree that would apply to any profession.
Absolutely.
I was writing plays. We were putting on plays here in the D.C. area. I worked with a group called the Minority Arts Ensemble. We got grant money from the D.C. Commission on the Arts and Humanities. And in 78, I was a National Endowment for the Arts Fellow for playwriting.
Oh, man.
So I was doing this stuff, but like I said, it didn't pay any bills.
Yeah.
And my father said, you know, that artsy-fartsy stuff, it's good, but you need a steady job. Can't you have a steady job and still do the artsy-fartsy stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, you're right.
Yeah, that's a lot more work, but yeah.
Yeah, I can do that.
I might as well, since they're not paying me to do the one thing.
That's right.
Oh, that's awesome. This occurs to me, you're a former playwright, now novelist. Could Guarding Shakespeare be a play?
I don't think so. It's designed to be a nice thriller. You need space. It's too confined.
That's a hard genre.
There are lots of scenes in lots of different places. The femme fatale approaches him at the Hawk and Dove restaurant up on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Been there.
Yeah. So it's something I would rather see as a movie where you can actually see sights around D.C. He lives near Lincoln Park.
Nice.
The house has been in the family for years. It's now worth $1.9 million, and his father left it to him.
Yeah.
And he's got his father's old Jaguar with customized license tag, Puck. And he parks in Puck Circle with his antique Jaguar, you know.
That's great, because every detective needs a cool set of wheels.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So if you were casting the movie, do you have somebody who you wouldn't see playing Norman?
Not really, because it depends on which way they would like to go.
Yeah, right.
On the one hand, it could be, if it was a black guy, it could be Samuel L. Jackson.
Sure.
If it's a white guy, it could be George Clooney. It doesn't matter to me. But the idea is that he lives on Capitol Hill and he's underestimated.
Right.
So if he was a black guy, that would help to support that. But he doesn't have to be a black guy.
Right.
And if you look around here, most of the guards are black.
Yeah. This is very cool. Do you get to talk to the? I mean, you must see all the artists come through here and the scholars.
I see everybody. I talk to everybody. The world comes to my door.
Yeah, they do.
And the only reason I went back to work, because I have a good pension.
Yeah.
Is that I needed input, and I get to meet all these people, and ideas come to me as I'm talking to people. If I'm just in a different place, and what I do is I write 2 hours before I come to work, and I write 2 hours after I get home from work. Sometimes longer if grabs me.
Yeah.
I might write for 8 hours.
Yeah.
And then I still have time to make my shift here 3 to 11.
Yeah.
Tuesday through Saturday.
You get on that roll, and you've got to just write it.
There are always places like that in anything you're writing where you just keep plugging at it. You're plugging away. Then also you get inspired. I see it now. I see it. And you just keep going as long as you can. And you say, okay, I can stop now. Then when you go back, you have stuff to look over. Oh, wait a minute. I should put this piece. This section should go over here.
Yeah, right. Yeah. As you begin to play with it. And I imagine you see all the, not only the scholars and the artists that come through, but the patrons.
The patrons, right.
Yeah, you might look at a person and go, ooh, that looks like exactly the character I need. I don't know what she's like, but that's what the look like.
And then a little trick I did, I made sure that I had fictional characters interact with people who were actually working here during the time I wrote it.
Oh, neat.
So I'd have Norman Blaylock say that. You know, hire a Caroline Bettinger, or if somebody's doing something, I have all these, you know, Mike Whitmore witnessing the spectacle. You know? So when they read it, they're in the scene.
Sure, they're absolutely in the scene, and everybody who's been here is going, oh, I know that guy. I know who the guy is. Yeah. Now I see on your collar you have letters. It looks like SPD.
It's SPO, Special Police Officer.
Okay.
We're Special Police Officer commissioned to be a police officer wherever he works. All of the properties of the Folger Shakespeare Library have the same powers as a DC police officer.
Okay.
But just on their properties, and you're commissioned for that. You have to apply for it, and you have to renew it every year. And so I'm one of their police officers.
That's so cool. Well, and I thought that was a D, so I thought it was Shakespeare Police Department. That's the coolest thing I've ever seen.
But you notice our shoulder patches.
Yeah.
It's his coat of arms. It's Shakespeare's coat of arms.
Oh my God, the Folger Shakespeare Library Special Police badge or on your jacket patch is Shakespeare's coat of arms. That's amazing. Oh my God. Oh, that's great.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your hard-boiled detective via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also engage with us and other fans on Facebook or Twitter. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, femme fatale Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Calton Bollock. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to crime novelist Craig Robertson. We hope to see him again this summer when we return to Edinburgh. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 492, 1476th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Mr. Peterson, Officer Peterson, Q, however I address you, thank you so much for talking to me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.